You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere. Please stand by for the John and Gordy Morning Show. Phone lines are open right now. Call or text 608-879-8255 or use the free Civic Media app. And now, live from the Civic Media headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, here are John and Gordy. We're truly sorry.
You, what about us?
Yes. Yes. It looks like it's going to be a pretty nice day today. At least I'm hoping so. Here on WMDX, we have the WMDX weather window overlooking State Street, Capital City.
Yes.
And the WMDX official Samsung watch of the show.
Yeah.
We'll be checking in with that in a few moments.
Good morning.
And I have plans today to spread grass seed all over my lawn to see how that works. That's going to be a $56 investment. I know I'm just spreading $56 all over my lawn that'll blow away.
It is going to be breezy again today. So
oh, no.
I don't know. Yeah. Is today a good day to do that kind of thing?
I got no choice. It's going to start raining later, I suppose.
Yes, that's right.
Why don't you just like rent a sod cutter and then take your neighbor's lawn?
Oh, I'd love that. No, I don't need their dandelions. The nice thing about sod is you don't get the dandelions and you have an instant, really thick lawn.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I have too big a lawn for that.
Okay.
You could have one nice green patch and then the rest just kind of brown around it.
Well, I did have a green patch when they took out a tree and the stump and they replanted that area and it was just gorgeous. And now that has since dwindled into nothing.
What kind of grass seed did you get? Do you have to do anything else to treat it? Do you just throw it on there and sprinkle some water on it?
It's got a little soil in it.
It does.
It's got fertilizer in it.
Oh, okay.
And it's also the grass seed, and it's supposed to work wonders, like magic.
Okay.
It's like the Jack and the Beans, you know?
Jack and the Beanstalk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the beans before they became stalks, yeah.
Okay.
But, you know what I'm getting at here. You know, I want
a
nice lawn. I know you don't.
I have no idea where I'm going. You're driving around the parking lot without a space to park.
There you go. So, that's it.
That's John Peterson. I'm Gordy Young, producer Sam, all raring to go here on this Thursday. And it is looking mainly clear out there. And we're at 39 degrees currently, according to the WMDX thermometer outside the WMDX window.
Is that really what?
39.
Well, I suppose this puts a lot of pressure on the WMDX Samsung watch at this point. So, currently 40 degrees.
Okay. Well, so we're, in the ballpark.
Yes, I know. And then a high of 66 today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's...
Anybody keeping track of these things? I'm not.
Well, let's check the weather roulette wheel. Yeah. Let's just roll it around and see what happens
at the
afternoon high. And around it goes. Mm-hmm. And where it stops is right there on red 62.
So that's red 62.
That's quite a difference from what your watch is saying.
Yes.
So, we'll have to compare it later on.
You think so? You think we'll remember?
See how that goes.
We're about 3 minutes away from sunrise, just to let you know.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
And tonight, sunset is at 7:42. Plan your grilling accordingly.
Okay. Well, it's going to be raining, it looks like. It could cloud up and might have some showers by late in the day.
Yeah.
So
I'm hoping for my grass seed.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, good enough. What about the National Day calendar, you say? Well, we've got it right here.
Yeah, what about that? My gosh.
Is it or is it not?
Don't bring me down with this. Whatever you do, don't depress me.
Okay. Is it National Get to Know Your Customers Day? Hmm. How about National High Five Day? National History Museum Day? National Cheese Ball Day? National Haiku Poetry Day or National Ellis Island Family History Day? Which one of those days?
It's not High Five Day.
Well, you're wrong again today, John. Whatever your name is.
Always.
Forgot whatever your name for a second there.
Whatever my name is.
Sam, do you have a guess? It's not National High Five Day.
No. It's not History Museum Day.
You got it right for a change. Right. Yeah. Get a shiny new dime added to your account. Okay. Let's get to know your customers day. Hey. Okay. This is for retailers, I imagine. Reminds businesses to reach out to patrons and get to know them better. You know, the day is observed annually on the third Thursday of each quarter.
That's a wonderful tip for all the Tesla dealers out there and the salespeople on the floor. Go out there and get to know your neighbors.
Okay. What businesses get to know when... Oh, okay. Let me start over. When businesses get to know their customers, they also get to know more about what they need to grow. What? Remember when Main Street businesses were locally owned and operated? I remember those days.
Oh, yes, fond memories.
The owners knew you by name. They knew your shopping habits. Additionally, they typically knew what you wanted to buy. Not surprisingly, they were willing to get it in for you if they didn't have it. Unfortunately, with the advent of the internet and big box stores, much of the personal attention has gone by the wayside. Boy, if you can get any attention from anybody at a big box store, you could, you know... Why is that? You can't find anybody to get help anymore when you're in a one of the big box stores.
That's not true at Costco, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, except for Costco. They have plenty of people. That's
yes,
true.
They do have quite a few people there, and they're all friends.
Yeah, okay. Is your friend still working there that greets you when you walk in the door or walk out the door?
She's in a different area, apparently. She got tired of doing that, so now she's in a different area. I never see her.
Oh.
But I just want to say something about the old shop owners.
Yeah,
it used to be not so much that they knew what you were going to order, but it was more or less you had an account with them.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd buy your stuff, and they'd just add it to the account at the end of the month. They'd give you the bill, and you'd pay it off.
Yeah,
and that was the way it was done in the local areas in Milwaukee, where we lived.
Those were the days.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of nice because as kids, we'd go to this market and we'd pick up all the hot dogs and all the meats. We just went there and shopped, put it on the bill.
Put it on the bill.
My parents, God, their bill must have been outrageous. I bet it was like, you know, having the Amazon bill come every month, you know. It's just
what? You
outrageous.
Bought what?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's National High Five Day. When was the last time you saw somebody give a high five? You know?
I hate people that give high fives. I walk away, I'm running. And I'm thinking, what is wrong with you? Do you really have to have some kind of skin contact? No.
I forgot all about the high five. Actually, I was watching, I was scanning through the channel doing high speed scanning.
And I'm good at that.
Yes. And they had an Everybody Loves Raymond on that flashback to when they were high school kids, you know, and they were wearing bad wigs and bad clothing. And at this party, everybody's giving each other high fives. And I thought, God, yeah, I remember high fives. Yeah, that used to be a thing.
What are you talking about? Like,
this is when you, instead of like a fist bump.
Oh, you don't even
now,
know what a high five is?
No, people still high five each other. I don't know what you're talking about. Not like in an everyday context all the time, but like.
Well, this was pretty much all the time.
maybe it's because I work with kids more.
Sam,
but.
There's something wrong with you? There's something wrong with people that high five. You know, stay away from them. Steer clear.
John, don't make me walk in there and give you a high five.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So
never saw a need for slapping five or high fives.
Stan's giving himself a high five.
I know
now.
He is.
A little creepy. Okay. Each year on the third Thursday in April, we observe National High Five Day. This is a fun day where you can high five everyone you see. Oh, let's just try to
stop it.
That.
Oh no.
Get arrested.
Oh yes.
Okay, never mind. Let's move on.
You're like an old television sitcom, you know, watching people in the office high-fiving all day long.
It's National Cheese Ball Day. When was the last time you had a nice cheese ball? Get some crackers and break that thing open.
Is that what you get a cheese ball and you swipe the crackers into the cheese ball and scoop out something?
Yeah, that's basically the idea.
Boy, what a dumb... that doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah. It's National Haiku Poetry Day. Yes. I know you're a big fan of haiku,
haiku
poetry.
Yes. what is
five
that?
Lines?
Give an example.
I think it's let's see. Here we go. Observed annually on April 17th, Haiku Poetry Day encourages all to try their hand at creativity. The haiku poetry is a form of Japanese poetry that is non-rhyming and usually consists of three lines with a syllable pattern of 5-7-5. So they give an example here. This is called Haiku, The Other World by Richard Wright.
Oh, that's nice. Yes.
You remember this one, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's a classic. Whitecaps on the Bay. A broken signboard hanging. Is that bang? No, it's banging. Okay. A broken signboard banging in the April wind. You want me to repeat that? Whitecaps on the Bay, a broken signboard banging in the April wind.
Yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense.
Okay, no, that's poetry. That's haiku poetry. What?
Yes, no, that's it. That's it. The old beatnik.
That's what you're doing.
Instead of applause, you get
your fingers. Snap your fingers. Yeah.
Okay. And it's National Ellis Island Family History Day. Why would that be today? Well, we'll find out. April 17th, National Ellis Island Family History encourages families to explore their ancestry and discover family who immigrated through Ellis Island. You ever go through your family history, John? Get into genealogy or like that?
What is the what was the site that everybody went to, but now it's bankrupt?
I think that's 23andMe.
23andMe, yeah, that's right.
Ancestry is still
that's
happening.
Right. Now, you know, we never got to that story on the show, but it was it was a nightmarish news story.
Right.
Where all these millions and millions of people, now all of their information is for sale. Their genetic makeup is for sale.
Right.
Oh, my God.
That's not good.
Hey, Mark texted and said, do you put straw down over the seeded areas? Well, I haven't done it yet, but no. This stuff avoids the whole putting straw down thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, that would make sense,
just because you
said
that now it's not going
to
work.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Do we have time to get to the history book there, Sam?
I don't know if we do right now. We'll get to it soon.
If you don't know, how would we know?
Okay, the answer's no, Gordy.
Okay, that's not yet. That's more definitive. Okay. All right, coming up a little bit later on, we're going to be checking in with Kara Ogburn. She's with the Milwaukee Film Fest. She's the artistic director. In fact, we'll have a couple of tickets to give away in our 7 o'clock hour. And we'll check in with Judy Davidoff from the Isthmus about the latest issue that's out there. 18 minutes past the hour, back with more of John and Gordy in the Morning in just a moment.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
WMDX, John and Gordy in the Morning.
It's 6:21. It's 39 degrees, mostly clear, but some clouds are going to be moving in, maybe rain later on.
Yeah.
Highs in the 60s for today. And it's going to be breezy. So
breezy again, and there goes the lawn seed. It's going to blow away. I was worried about that.
Well, 20 to 30 mile per hour winds. Is that going to do it?
I don't know, maybe. Yeah.
Could blow it into your neighbor's lawn, and then
they're going to have a nice lawn.
What do you got for history, Sam?
Right,
let's open up the book.
Let's go online.
Let's go to the Kindle version.
Yes. Okay. Oh, boy. Is that dial-up working?
Ah, there we go. Got a good connection.
Good.
What do we got today? I want to see if you remember any of this stuff. Well, this all happened during your lifetimes. Yeah. Today, in 1961, the Bay of Pigs invasion began.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Vaguely remember that.
Vaguely.
You know?
You would have been a little tyke still then.
That was eight.
Very tense times.
8 or 9, yeah.
At the Peterson home.
Yes.
You remember that?
Just as a little kid, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was a fiasco. Yeah.
That it was. Yeah. I didn't learn about it in school, really. I kind of had to find out about it on my own, which is
that was a complaint my kids had, too. They didn't learn a lot of history. In history class in school, and it bothered them. They really
wanted to know.
Yeah. You know, and then my son found out about World War II in English class because it was a reading assignment.
He didn't know about World War II.
They didn't teach World War II.
What? Like he knew that it happened, but he didn't know anything about
they have kind of an overview, I guess. I don't know. I don't know if he knew about World War II or not. My point is that he learned about World War II, Germany, and the death camps all in an English assignment.
That's
okay.
Wild.
Yeah. A reading assignment.
Both of your dads fought in World War II. John, and John, you've got really young kids. Did they ever get a chance to talk to your father about
My wife's brother did. Even recorded it. And then he never let me listen to it.
What?
He meant to. Yeah. He just keeps forgetting and I haven't asked. So, but I'd love to hear it.
There's a recording, should have a chance.
Part of that point. Silent generation.
Yeah, they didn't like to talk about it.
They didn't talk about anything at all.
Yeah.
They never complained about Medicare. They should have.
If I lived through World War II, I probably wouldn't have wanted to talk about it either.
Well, I don't know.
My dad didn't see any action. I mean, he wasn't in a military zone, but he was in Panama for most of the war. But
My dad saw a brief action, but was shot immediately.
He was shot?
Yes, yes. And
he was all right, obviously.
Survived. Just amazing. You know, you get shot and you depend on other people to say, well, I'm going to try to save this guy. You know, it's kind of a weird.
Where did he get
in the air thing.
Where was he when he got shot?
I don't know. I don't know anything about his experience there. Again,
my wife's brother
knows more about this than I do.
Maybe you ought to contact him and get the tape.
Yeah, he was wounded and everything worked out, but wow.
Was it a serious wound? Where did he get hit?
It was, through the back and took out a lung.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, all
yes,
right.
Yes, I know.
It's
a very up story that I thought it
was. Right. When you guys were young, did either of you want to be astronauts?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Gordy, did that change after Apollo 13 happened?
It might have, yes.
I mean,
13
you were already a little older at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
But today in 1970, Apollo 13 safely returned home.
Boy, that was touch and go there for a few days.
Yeah, very
That's
tense
situation. The movie with Tom Hanks, right?
Yeah, I've seen the movie quite a few times.
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah. And anything else?
And I can't tell if you're gonna say like say something or not. 2011. You guys ever watch Game of Thrones?
No.
Sort of toward the end.
I have not seen any of it. I know that a lot of people are diehard fans, though. 2011, Game of Thrones hit the screen for the first time.
2011. Wow.
It went on for quite a while.
It did go on. You know, the thing that bothers me about Game of Thrones is, it lasted many, many seasons, right? So you just don't want to jump in because you're not going to be familiar with a lot of the characters. So I thought,
had like a horrible ending too, or like a very, very, like not satisfying ending, didn't it?
Yeah, I heard that too.
So there's no point even watching the show as far as I'm concerned.
I don't know. A lot of people seem to like it, so I wanted to check it out.
Right.
But I didn't want to just jump right into the show. So I wanted to see season one. Mm-hmm. And they made an amazing decision. They didn't release season one or allow you to see it without paying for it in some way, shape, or form. And I'm thinking, well, does that help? Maybe they should have just shown season one and then hooked people on to season one so they'd watch the rest of the damn series, the dumbasses. God, it just makes me angry thinking about it to this day. What if I had a fan? I'm sorry. You know, I'm almost at wit's end. I wake up every morning and I get the news, and I'm thinking we're all doomed. We're absolutely all doomed.
That was kind of why you came into the studio this morning.
Yeah, I apologize for bringing everybody down. Right,
like the whole world's going to hell in a handbasket. There's nothing we can do about it.
First words John said to me when he came in this morning, you know, I just don't know what I'm going to do with this program anymore.
The thing is, I have so many stories.
I know.
I have no time to actually give you these stories because they're really super important. They're going to make a difference. Everything turns on these stories.
Yeah.
And we don't have time to fill you in.
Well,
and a lot of them.
And a lot of it's really bad news for everybody.
It's not good news. No,
it's not.
No.
Yeah.
And the thing is, there's no hope.
Okay.
I don't want to bring everybody down.
No, come on.
But there doesn't seem to be much hope.
There's always hope.
Okay. But there is. You told me the story about the Republican you watched.
Trey Gowdy. Even Trey Gowdy's turned Trump.
Turned against Trump. That's hope.
There's some hope right there. Okay. We will be back with Idiocracy. Oh, no, we have Dr. Tim Slecker.
Yes.
That's right.
Busted Pencils,
talking about that Harvard story. Boy, oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
And a whole lot more coming up on John and Gordy in the Morning on WMDX.
It's morning. Time to wake up, get some coffee, and call your parole officer. It's John and Gordy in the Morning on 92.7 WMDX.
We'll have to change that. They'll have to call the Homeland Security office.
That's it.
Send us out of the country, boy.
6:34. It's 40 degrees. Highs in the 60s today. Look for some rain showers developing late in the day and this evening. It's John and Gordy along with producer Sam.
And it is time once again for Busted Pencils. Tim Slecker is with us this morning talking education with an educator. Mm-hmm. All right. So, you know, there's so much to talk about, isn't there, Tim?
I mean, every so often.
Every once in a while, a story about education pops up.
You want to tackle Harvard first, or what do you want to go with?
Either that or the use of condiments.
yes, the important use of condiments. Why don't we get to the cut from Linda McMahon, her Department of Ed leader, who wants to phase out her own job. Well, you can't make this stuff up. God. All right. Well, anyway, this was her comment during a little press conference. Let's listen to this thing.
Mm-hmm. I think it was a letter or a report that I heard this morning. I wish I could remember the source, but that there is a school system that's going to start making sure that first graders or even pre-Ks have A1 teaching, you know, every year starting, you know, that far down in the grades. And that's just a wonderful thing. Kids are sponges. You know, they just absorb everything. And so it wasn't all that long ago that as we're going to have internet in our schools. Woo! Now, okay, let's see A1 and how can that be helpful? How can it be helpful in one-on-one instruction? How can it be helpful in absorbing, you know, more information for those fast learners? It can be more one-on-one directed. And those are the kinds of things and innovations that I want to see continue to develop.
That's nice.
A1.
Now, here's a comment from that post that I read. McMahon keeps referring to A1 as, or AI rather, as A1 and talking about how it will help students at all levels. But how can we get those students to drink it? Linda added, they wrote, the smarter kids can move up to Thousand Island dressing. Bring that into the class. And then I have this web wisdom from somebody who also observed something that I wasn't aware of during this interview. Let's listen to, this is cut 179, And this person has an observation I think is important to add to this. So let's listen.
Trump's education secretary, Linda McMahon, just said she wants to incorporate A1 steak sauce into our schools. She seems to have gotten confused because she was on a panel about AI technology with a bunch of AI company CEOs who were trying to figure out how they can get the Trump administration to invest in their products.
Yep.
The funniest part to me is that all these CEOs are trying to curry favor with the administration, so no one corrected her and they just left it out there, A1 steak sauce in the schools. Not to mention the fact that we have much bigger problems to solve in the US education system than figuring out how to integrate AI. It would be a lot funnier if these people weren't running our government and the price for their ignorance wasn't being paid by our kids and their future.
There you go.
Mm.
So,
yeah.
Well, it could have been worse to systematize their sauce.
Yes.
That's right. That's true. Liam Perrin's Worcestershire sauce. No one ever, no one can say that cleanly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I don't know. I mean, you know, it's really funny. I mean, it's almost like, wow, mm-hmm. what comics wrote this script? Because, you know, but to, you know, to think about, you could tell though that what she was speaking was something that was already prepared remarks for her, because, you know, if she would have said AI, the following, you know, kind of qualifiers that she used about, you know, one-on-one instruction,
yes.
innovation, mm-hmm. and things like that, you know, those were very nice, well-intended, and in fact, accurate statements.
Yes.
And so, which kind of points out the reality is that she didn't really know that was AI. You know, she really thought about A1. And so you'd sit there and go, you know, oh, it was just a faux pas. I don't know if it was a faux pas as much as it was somebody who really didn't understand that they were talking about how AI would be useful in schools. And she jumped right into A1. So,
And having talked to, you know, people from the AI industry prior to that is just unbelievable, unthinkable at a certain point. But yes, what she did talk about was accurate, which even surprised me. So, you know.
Well, but see, it's not surprising, right? Because these are comments that were not those weren't hers.
Okay,
they were
written.
Prepared for her.
Mm,
right.
Yeah.
You know, and which again points out that here, you know, what are the qualifications of this person to be in charge of the nation's education? We start to go, okay, well, how did she get this job? And everybody knows exactly how she got this job, you know, but A1, you know, it, oh my goodness. I mean, all the jokes. Yeah. How do we get A1? Well, and then I read somebody else who was like, hey, you know what? Maybe this is good news for the school lunch program, because maybe we'll start serving steak, you know?
Yeah.
Enough of that. Add some flavor to school lunches.
Enough of the fish sticks and tater tots. We're going exactly. right to the top. Yeah.
You know, well, and like we said, and so, you know, we talked about this on Busted Pencils, and you know, there's A1 sauce, and you know, back to the Nancy Reagan's use of ketchup, Heinz
That's
ketchup,
right.
as a vegetable for school lunches, you know, because she made that comment with the sincerity of going, well, what do you mean kids don't get their vegetables? They have ketchup.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wait a minute. What planet
are we on? Yeah.
What are we talking about? I mean, you know, especially and imagine ketchup. Have you read the ingredients of ketchup?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, red dye number 10 and sugar.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's good to expound. I was watching that discussion, that panel discussion that she was on, and the two people she was talking to were advocates of privatization of schools.
Right.
And then she went on to explain a few things about how important it is to have a variety of different kinds of schools to go to, public and private and, you know, religious schools, and how important it is, you know, just to have that option out there. And then she went in to the idea that there'll be hybrids of learning, and that is that some people will go to public school in the morning and then in the afternoon go to a private school and have private classes there. It's just a little bit of convolution, you know. It's
an education buffet.
It is. Not quite. Yeah. Can't quite land on a solution, so let's just go with it all. You know,
we're talking to Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils, a podcast you can listen to on Civic Media here on the Civic Media app. You can join the conversation 608-879-8255. Let's move on to the Harvard issue. Well, so Harvard is
Harvard is about to, you know, invest in A1.
Well, who knows what they're going to do.
You know what?
Do,
maybe they'll choose that instead, you know. Maybe that'll make the administration happy. You know, we were watching a little bit of coverage on CNN this morning on our monitor here in the studio, and they were talking about the fact that now Trump is threatening to prevent international students from attending Harvard as well.
That's the latest.
Yeah, that's the latest.
Well, I mean, where do you start with this one?
Right.
Higher education, and I think this is one of the ways that, you know, to look at this is somebody saying, well, you know, they deserve it. They're an elite woke institution. They're indoctrinating. But, you know, they're a private university, right? Making decisions about how they admit students, whether or not they're going to have programs that talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion and things like that. The idea here, let's just, you know, forget about this being Harvard and talk about it being a private business. And ask the question, would you or would we stand for government intrusion like this into a private business? And I ask that question to, you know, conservatives, my neighbors, who I think, you know, if you broke this down into that simplicity of a kind of an equation, I think a lot of them would have real doubts about this being a policy that they feel comfortable with. I mean, taking the seriousness to say, it's just like, wait a minute, what are we doing here? You know, what are the implications? You know, the government making denial of students. I keep coming back to this one as being, you know, really, to me, the most concerning is that you continue to hear about wanting to actually control what is taught, and okay, so Harvard is the most elite institution with some of the best researchers, produced the most presidents of the United States, and we're questioning whether or not they're teaching the appropriate content. all of a sudden now, wait a minute. Harvard, can you believe what they're teaching at Harvard? We've got to control that because, you know, it's an elite institution. I'm glad to see them really fighting back and hopefully providing some type of an example as a resistance. But I also do worry about the higher education in general, for the places that aren't Harvard, that don't have the resources and the clout to actually put up a resistance the way they are. And again, the implications of the, you know, changing and actually requiring different curricula or how things are taught and what is taught, how many institutions of higher education already have made those decisions to, you know, obey in advance,
right,
and to avoid the type of scrutiny that their resources just would not give them the ability to deal with.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that is where you start thinking about all of those small state institutions, small private institutions, community colleges, who are out there doing the work of educating the workforce, mm-hmm. who are saying, you know what, we just don't have the ability to put up a resistance to this. We're going to comply because actually we have a lot of real important work to do, and we just mm-hmm. don't have the time, bandwidth, and resources to put up a resistance to this. And how much of this really is the intention then of this administration to realize that you're going to get 80 to 90% compliance below the Harvards just by simply creating this type of news?
That's right. Well, there are a big protest going on all across the country, including right here in Madison at noon today in the Library Mall. There's going to be a protest. And the point of the protest is to urge the UW-Madison to join the Big Ten Mutual Defense Compact and commit to share resources and strategic support among all the 18 of the Big Ten universities in defense of academic freedom, institutional integrity, and the research enterprise. And it's, I think, all because of Harvard finally resisting what is going on with the administration.
Mm-hmm. And we'll get into a little bit more of that after we come back with Dr. Tim Slecker and John and Gordy in just a moment.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
.651 92.7 WMDX, John and Gordy, along with Dr. Tim Slecker. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Verlo Mattress of Madison. Wake up and sleep better on a Verlo mattress. A lot has changed since 1958, but some things have remained constant throughout Verlo's history. They're still direct to consumer and provide superior products at unbeatable prices. Verlo Mattress, two Madison locations, east and west, and go to verlo.com for more information. All right.
Yeah, I found out about these protests, these organized protests around the country to join, you know, in and defend as a group against what Trump is trying to do to the universities, you know, calling curriculum, having somebody oversee who they hire, all of that. It's insane. It's crazy. And because of that, you know, I saw it on TV last night. Yeah. It was on Rachel Maddow. And she showed a picture of the isthmus, and I guess it might even be in today's isthmus, that the headline about this organized protest at noon on the Library Mall. So I don't know how they got the message or news out to them. I looked on their site. I didn't see an announcement for this story. Mm. But, it's kind of interesting. It's hitting it. And the problem is our university is still not on board with this. And, Tim, I think the problem here in these local smaller colleges is that the colleges are funded by the legislatures. And if it's a conservative legislature, they're going to penalize and punish those universities if they join in on something like this. They'll call it woke and, you know, indoctrination, and they'll start cutting funding, as they always do.
Right. Yeah. And you know, that's why I said that's the concern of joining into a movement and a resistance movement. And that's why now coming back, it's good to see the Harvards stepping up, because they have the resources, they have the credibility, they have that kind of a long type of relationship also with their alumni, very powerful alumni in the country, who are, I think, probably sitting there going like, wait a minute, what purpose does it serve to break down one of the most reputable institutions in the world? You know, what's the gain going to be at the end of the day by destroying an institution that, you know, as they say, you know, if you get in and graduate from Harvard the rest of your life because of the connections to the alumni right there, it's frightening. I worry about it. But I, you know, at the same time too, we were talking during the break, there is also there's a petition and a letter out right now nationally that has, last I checked, this was maybe 3 days ago, so I'm gonna bet there are more, but 60 university past and present presidents have signed on to this petition to, you know, kind of push back on the Trump administration to say, you know, this is not something that is cool and kosher. And, you know, I don't know. It made me think, though, too, that, you know, maybe if we just all ordered A1,
yeah,
you know, things would be better. You know, maybe Harvard's
A1 sauce.
maybe Harvard's tactic would be to say, you know what? How about this? How about in all dining facilities in Harvard, we're going to use A1 from now on?
Yeah, you know, they can go along with Linda McMahon on this one, I sure. think. You know, right?
You know, good idea.
And then I was thinking, you know, hey, let's go even further. There may be Grey Poupon could be added into all of them.
Yeah. Well, that sounds a little liberal. You know? Yeah, I don't know. It sounds woke. Yeah, now, we had a few comments, by the way, some text here from Doug. Rock musician and singer Meatloaf appeared in a TV commercial for the product to promote a new slogan, A1 makes beef sing. But, you know, Meatloaf, why not, right? And here's another one, John in Middleton. Some folks learn to read by perusing cereal boxes and steak sauce bottles. I learned by reading ketchup bottles, and I'm still confused.
Thank you for that comment, John. And
A1 Middleton. Steak sauce, it's got electrolytes. It's what plants crave in the afternoon. So that's from Matt out in Middleton. Yeah. Oh, it's fun stuff. Good, you know, stuff. I mean, we could. I do want to play this one comment from sure. Harvard University Professor Andrew Crespo. This is Cut 153. Let's listen.
Given Harvard is the first school that we've seen respond this way, how does that impact your lawsuit, and what does that mean for this going forward?
Well, I think the Trump administration's decision to cut $2.2 billion from Harvard tonight makes clear just how essential this lawsuit is and how critical this fight is and why it's so important for Harvard and really every university in the country to take a stand at this critical moment, because this is a clear, unquestionable violation of First Amendment rights. You mentioned some of the demands that the administration has made of Harvard. It includes things like trying to appoint a federally named oversight official to do an audit of every course, every department at Harvard to see if we have ideological balance to meet the Trump administration's test for what we teach and what we say at these universities. It's a transparent effort to change what is taught, what we say in our classrooms, what we teach our students, to make sure that the only things that are actually said on university campuses are things that the Trump administration wants to hear.
Okay, this is all part of what dictators do to take over,
yeah.
And that is to get rid of or at least change the universities, along with the media as well. That's what they're doing, threatening the media.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where it's at. All right, we're just about out of time, news. Tim.
we
end on an up note.
Wow. All right.
Well, I want to leave you in that high note there.
Sorry about that. So. You can catch Dr. Tim Slecker, Busted Pencils, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays with podcasts, and they also have one on Saturdays.
Well, check out the Wednesday podcast where Johnny and Tim go at it again.
Right?
I think Johnny...
We've been doing that a lot lately.
That's true. It's Johnny fun. Didn't want to talk about A1 sauce for very long. So.
Thank you, Tim. We'll talk to you next time. And we'll be back with Kara Ogburn coming up from the Milwaukee Film Festival. Also, Judy Davidoff coming up in our next hour.
It's the John Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.